views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready for a game changer. Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sarah will bring you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Now here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and you're listening to Conscious Business Radio on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today, we are going to talk about the record number of childhood abuse and trauma cases and how that is fundamentally affecting our communities and our workforce and ultimately affecting our ability for our businesses to thrive and our communities to thrive. Basically, have you ever wondered why so many businesses are struggling to find a dedicated workforce with basic functioning skills to complete tasks? I'm sure if you're a hiring manager or running a company, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Or have you wondered why our schools are troubled, jails are filled, and so many communities are distressed? Well, doctors and other experts are pointing to 30 years of in-depth research demonstrating that childhood trauma and abuse is the number one factor causing this epidemic. Children that are abused likely grow up to be troubled and unproductive adults. These adults are also likely to repeat the abuse cycle they had as children and create another generation of troubled adults. So what are the adult problems that we often see stemming from early childhood abuse? Well, this same 30 years of research and doctors and so have concluded that childhood trauma causes many adult problems such as obesity, depression, jealousy, narcissism, substance abuse, all the drug use that we're seeing. Now, not everything is coming from that, but a lot of it comes from childhood abuse, risky sexual behavior, and many other issues stem from it. The costs of these problems are demonstrated by the absentee rates of workers, the skill deficiencies to do basic tasks, the dysfunctional relationships in our teams, the theft of our resources, and the overall lack of ability to thrive as a community or business, which all of us have seen. To make matters worse, this problem is a growing issue in our country. We have 12 to 18 million reports each year to child services reporting abuse, but experts really believe this is underreported. They believe the actual number of cases are much higher. And according to the Kids at Risk Action Board, here's a quote, the committed and hardworking people doing the work cannot meet the existing needs of the children they serve. Only the worst cases get into the system, and the abuses of these children regularly exceed the training, resources, and capacity of our institution and the foster and adoptive parents that love and care for them. They just don't know what to do. They don't have the training to deal with these kids. And the political neglect and lack of public awareness keeps these things just keep going. So to take a deeper look at this issue, we are inviting Mike Tikkanen. He's the author of Invisible Children and the founder and president of the Kids at Action, the Kids at Risk Action Board, also called CARA. He has spoken to many agencies and organizations about this topic, including the United Nations, and he has just a wealth of information. He has a website called theinvisiblechildren.org where you can find more information about CARA. But before we get into him, I'm going to bring on a reporter from the Star Tribune in Minnesota, and he talks about a specific case and the research he found in that case. And I also want to mention, and I'll be playing this song later, we have artist Katrina Sama. She originally dedicated her song Brightest Star to the children of Sandy Hook, but she is rededicating this song to help children suffering all over this country from child abuse. And 100% of the proceeds are going to go to CARA to help with education and services for these children. So we are going to be playing that beautiful song later in the program. So keep an ear out for that. So now I'm going to play a clip from Star Tribune reporter Brandon Stahl. And this is about a little boy who was beaten to death by his stepmother and how the system worked and neglected his problem. And so that's so much of our issue is the neglect of the system. He was reported 15 times and it never got through. So listen to him talk about this story.
It was the worst picture I've ever seen. And I, because he had been beaten so badly, there were bruises all over his face, all over his body, bite marks on his head. And they had to shave his hair down to show the bite marks. His mouth was injured in such a way that there was a shredding on his lip. Eric was surrounded by the woman who was beating him. And then beat him some more. And you just think, this should never have happened. There were 15 reports made to Child Protection. They didn't share those reports with police. They didn't share prior reports with a doctor who was looking at the broken arm case. When they met with the mother and father, they weren't looking to see if the abuse happened. They were looking to see, well, can we help you in any way? And when the family said, no, please, we're fine, they went away. And the results of that were Eric Dean died a very horrible, awful death. That's when it became clear to me how crucial a job Child Protection has and the consequences of when they fail. It wasn't just Eric Dean, and I wanted to make people to understand that. I've found 50-some other cases since 2005 where Child Protection knew about the child or knew that the parents were dangerous, and yet the child still died.
If you go to the invisiblechildren.org site, you can see more documentary clips and clips from Brandon Stahl there about this particular story. But now let's welcome Mike Tikkanen to the program and we can get some in-depth conversation going about the issue.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Thanks to be here. Thanks for having me.
So how dire is the situation of child abuse in the United States?
It saddens me to recognize how underreported it is and how few people understand the correlation between full prisons, failing schools, and troubled cities. It's really a mental health issue. The doctors and medical people have started to make a very powerful case about how terrible childhood trauma is. As a nation, we've just begun to understand what trauma means to soldiers and deal with it. Last year, actually 2014, we put 20,000 two-year-olds on Prozac and other psychotropic medications. We expel more children from daycare centers than any other nation
in
the world.
That's 2 years?
2 years? 2 years and younger, 1 and 2-year-old children,
wow.
20,000 of them.
On depression-type drugs?
On psychotropic medications, and to really understand what that is, there's two parts to that. You know, each psychotropic medication reads on the side of the label that these drugs can induce suicidal ideation. And that's big. That's real. And people don't understand, you know, how it impacts adults, let alone how it impacts children. And we've been doing it for years. And if you look at the evolution of the mental health industry, you know, since lobotomies and Thorazine, you know, this is the next stage of medical, science. And it's great science. I mean, it works with many people. And it's very helpful.
It's better
helpful
than lobotomies, right?
I mean, that's
laughing
where we came
because it's
from.
Funny. But
yeah, no, I don't, I'm not making a joke. I'm pointing out to people that the way we've dealt with mental health in this country for 50 years is pretty sad. And I think, the mental health community now is coalescing around what's called ACEs, the study of adverse childhood experiences and the concept of trauma. and what trauma does to children, and how it lasts a lifetime.
What is trauma? You know, abuse versus trauma, or are they the same thing?
Okay. There's two words there, and I'll define abuse. To me, working in child protection as a volunteer Catholic guardian ad litem, to get into the system, it's sad. You got to be bruised and bleeding. It's got to happen a number of times. When Eric Dean died a few years ago, after 15 reports of child abuse by mandated reporters, 15 abuse, he was 4 years old. His face was chewed off. His arm was broken. And there were four counties in this state that screened out 90% of the child abuse calls. And Minnesota led, I think, at 33 or 37, I forget the number. But, I mean, in general, we screen out, did at that time, most child abuse calls. So what is abuse depends on where you live. And most states, and, of course, one of my board members at Kids at Risk Action made public policy in Europe on children's issues for 10 years, and you can't get over the difference in how the rest of the industrialized world treats children and young families and how we do. Because we allow a great deal of abuse, and we don't allow that many kids into child protection, and the services they get are inferior. And young families, under great stress during this last recession, really, it hurt a lot of people. It's generational. It's grown exponentially. It's a big, big deal in this nation. It impacts schools. Can you imagine being a teacher with two or three kids on Prozac? I've got friends that are first and second grade teachers that have been stabbed and hit. And it's not what you signed up for. When I wrote the book in 2005, Invisible Children, I interviewed a lot of teachers. And I'll always remember one art teacher who just broke down crying, say that, under No Child Left Behind, all the Prozac kids got stuck in her big class now, and there was no art being taught. She couldn't manage them. It was dangerous. She quit. And the same holds true, really, for all service providers, whether you're foster child or foster parents, adoptive parents, social workers, justice workers. Trauma impacts children, and by the time they figure out, how do I say it to you? They mask behaviors for some years, but when they get to be old enough to realize how different they are, there's a lot of anger, a lot of behavioral problems, a lot of danger. It explains why 80% of the kids aging out of foster care lead dysfunctional lives. It explains why 2/3 of the kids in juvenile justice system have mental health issues, and fully half of them have multiple serious and chronic illnesses, mental health illnesses. And then our recidivism rates in the prisons are reaching 80%. So people that argue against the things that could make life better for abused and neglected children, like crisis nurseries, subsidized daycare, mental health services, are spending a lot more money than they think they are.
How do other countries deal with it? You said earlier that other countries are dealing with it quite a bit different than we are. How are they dealing with it versus us? And do they have different levels of problems than we do?
Yeah, let's start at the beginning with them, because after the Second World War, and this is where it starts, their populations were devastated, and they realized that their children and families were their greatest asset. They had to rebuild.
We need to take a short break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss, is a hit show that brings a real and dynamic message to uncovering and believing in the true amazing being you already are. Tune in and let Catherine help you become truthful, authentic, and mindful of living on purpose one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and we're having an in-depth conversation with the author of Invisible Children, Mike Tikkanen. And before we get into that, I am going to play a beautiful song called Brightest Star by Katrina Sama. And I want to let you know that the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds for the CD that she's offering is going to help children directly. So if you like this music, please purchase the CD and it will go to 100% of the proceeds are be going to help children deal with this awful issue that we have going on in our country.
When I look into the brightest star, I know just where you are and how to find you. When I look into the brightest star, I know just where you are and how to find you.
Beautiful song. And if you want to donate, go to my website, sarahwestall.com, and you will find a link to be able to purchase the CD. Actually, 100% of the proceeds go to Cara, and you'll get a beautiful copy of this, you'll get the beautiful song and a full CD of other works that Katrina Sama does. And you will be helping out an organization in need that really helps our country. So again, go to sarahwestall.com and you can purchase it there. If you want to directly contribute, you can go to invisiblechildren.org and there's a donate button there and you can directly donate to them as well if you do not want a copy of the music. But I think you'd be crazy not to want a copy of the music. It's beautiful songs. So now let's get back to our interview with Mike Pikkanen.
So early on, they made sure that no child fell through the cracks.
Well, they had trauma across their entire communities with the war. I mean, it was just everywhere.
Right. It was devastating.
Yes.
So the point I'm making is that after the war, rather than investing in prisons and jails and punishment, they built daycare and they created systems for young and poor families. It's obvious through all the things from insurance to education, mandated leaves for both fathers and mothers when a new baby's born, those sorts of things. Now, they have other issues when you get into talking about them, but as a practical matter, for 50 years now, they have made damn sure that those children. I tell a story about a young Minneapolis girl, 15 years old, ended up in Norway using drugs and pregnant. And she wrote an article for the Minneapolis Reader. And I'll never forget reading it because it was 2 pages long and it explained how the Norwegians kept showing up on her doorstep, making sure that her baby was inoculated, had clothing and food.
Oh, wow. So they just show it's a cultural thing. Well, I have a friend.
That's what it is.
I have a friend who took in a child from the, a foster child who was 7, still in diapers, didn't know how to use silverware. And she got him out of diapers. She got him eating properly with silverware, knowing how to dress himself, doing the basic things that a child at 7 should be able to know how to do. And this all stemmed from the mother who was neglecting him and into drugs and all sorts of problems. And after, I think, 8 or 9 months, I don't remember the exact time period, she said, they took him back out of her house and gave him back to the mother. And she was absolutely devastated. She was trying to fight it, but that was – so after that, she was so distraught. She was so disillusioned by the system that she won't even work with the foster system anymore, which I thought was very sad.
She's not alone. It saddens me in the first place. I don't want to blame the worker bees because it's not the worker bees. There's people doing what they were told to do, how they were trained to do it with the resources they have. And I know a lot of them. And their heart's in the right place. The problem really is, it's a political problem. We haven't had the political will to do the right thing. It's almost, I'm going to use an analogy. I mean, the health thing that we've just fought through was, people have made a mess out of it, and that's the same thing that's happened to child protection. What we have now is the child moves from space to space and stays in the system so long, and it's just not built around the child. It's built around the service providers. And so there are very few people that have come into contact with the child protection system that walk away saying, hey, that was a great experience. I'm sorry about that. It just is.
Well, how is this harming our society?
I think in a number of ways. I give you the financial aspects from my perspective. There's always several ways of framing things. And just for instance, I had a boy. I met him in 96, and he was with me until he was about 19 years old, and he aged out of foster care. He'd been tied to a bed, sexually abused, beaten, and starved for 4 years.
Oh, my
God. And from 4 to 7. And let's see now. And, of course, he was on a lot of drugs, a lot of prescribed drugs, Prozac, Ritalin, stuff like that. And when he aged out of foster care, he had cost the system over $3 million. And that did not include the people he stabbed, the teacher he beat up, the terrible things he did to the 29 foster families that dealt with him. And that was just one boy. And I have other instances of children that cost the system a lot of money. And what it's crushing to me to know that $3 million would have bought a lot of crisis nurseries, would have paid for a lot of subsidized daycare. And his mental health services were just terrible. This is one of my first cases as a guardian ad litem. I didn't know up from down. They train you as well as they can in the 45 hours they give you, but there's a lot to learn. This is very serious work, and we're way behind the curve when it comes as a nation. I write about this nationally, and if people are interested, Sad Stories Under Real Stories on InvisibleChildren.org, that covers the nation and how different states do things. Because there are some states that are far worse than Minnesota was called a colossal failure by the governor when Eric Dean died, and he formed a task force now that's got 91 recommendations that we are excited to think that they will get most of them passed, and that may or may not happen.
So where do we stand in Minnesota?
We used to be a leader. 15 years ago, we had foreign exchange students from Mexico. Their father had been here studying he was a legislator in Mexico, studying our child protection system, and Minnesota and California were leaders. And both of us now are not leaders. I mean, Minnesota really quit spending money on early childhood stuff in a past.
Isn't that pretty much a trend across the country? I mean, culturally,
we've kind of moved
on.
I have to do yes.
I mean, we just don't pay attention to our children.
Right.
So, aside from the obvious human issues of just being wrong not to care for our children, how does it affect our ability just to compete and to be a prosperous society? I mean, I can't imagine. There's just so many underbelly issues this causes.
As a business person, I look at this and think it's pure insanity because you have to import the kind of labor you need because the kind of, the good news is our colleges are still wonderful and filled with brilliant people. But as far as graduation rates, we lowered our standards to the point now where graduating high school seniors can't find Florida or the Pacific Ocean on the map. I mean, our statistical data is just awful when it comes to education. And I don't mean to blame teachers. It's not their fault. What's happened is this wave of people with a lot of problems, we've had to accommodate. And 25 to 40% of the kids entering two-year junior colleges now need remedial math, remedial English. They don't know much about history. We were a beacon on the hill there for a long, long time, and we've given it up because we don't treat our children or our young families. You know, the stress that is put on people making $8-$10 an hour is ridiculous, and to ask people not to have families.
So where's the trauma? Where is the source of this issue coming from, would you say? I mean, I know it's a cultural issue.
Yeah.
But where?
No, that's a great question. It to me is it's pretty straightforward. It has to do with legislators that do not understand. We've had a wave of people that were anti-tax by nature, and it's funny because when I don't mean funny, it's ironic. When I spoke at the UN in 2008 on this topic, the bridge fell in the river in Minneapolis, and I then made that correlation that it's like maintenance. They didn't allow the $5 million for the maintenance of the bridge. They've been fighting it for 2 years. It fell in the river, killed 14 people, and injured 100 and some more. Real serious injuries. And so we got the same issue when you're dealing with a 5-year-old or a 2-year-old, prenatal care. That child is going to be a member of your society, whether you like it or not. They're either going to cost you money or they're going to make you money. And believe me, every child wants to be normal. Every child.
Well, every child wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved and accepted.
Yeah, right. And they'll settle for normal.
Yeah, well,
I
guess,
kind of
yes.
Here, but as a guardian ad litem and 50 kids that I've taken from their mothers, I know what they feel. It tears me apart. And once they're in the system, they're not loved, really. They're treated as well as they can be by the system itself. But they know they're a state ward. They know they're on an escalator. They know. They figure that out pretty quick. There is an absence of that kind of humanity.
We need to take a short commercial break, and we will be back in a moment with Mike Tikkanen.
Hey, everyone. Meet my friends at the Maca team. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is known worldwide for its huge array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the Maca team is here to bring you the best maca the Peruvian mountains has to offer. Yellow maca, used to promote endurance, vitality, fertility, hormone health, and much more, is on sale now. I love it. Visit themacateam.com to order yours now. Themacateam.com.
There are so many resources out there for meditation. But did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Vadili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's A-T-A-A-N-A-method.com, and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine. When we become aware of a choice, it is not accidental. It is our opportunity to transform. It's about becoming our higher vibrational selves. We tend to get alarmed and hide our heads in the sand when something new shows up in our awareness. That's all right. But today, let's become aware of our desire, recognize the block, and make a choice to step through it. Often we want the circumstance to change before we change. See, it's the other way around. If you find resistance, maybe it's time for some support. If you're ready to shift into your best life, visit LeslieFontaine.com and let's talk about unfolding all that you want to be, do, and have. You'll find sessions, classes, and audio products to help remove the blocks and move you into your potential. And listen to my show, Sheer Alchemy, on Transformation Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Welcome back to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and we're having a discussion with Mike Tikkanen about childhood abuse and trauma and the significant financial costs that has on our communities and our businesses, and not just financial costs, obviously, but it ends up translating into that and many other costs to our society. But let's rejoin that conversation now.
What do we spend each year trying to deal with this issue?
Well, there's a lot of different numbers, and the ones that people pay most attention to, and actually now you've opened up a box I like to open up and talk about. The CDC uses $124 billion a year. Now, I believe that there is no transparency, there is no accountability, and all the numbers are wrong. And that is because, well, just for instance, that $3 million number I gave you on that one boy, you know, you gotta add something in for the people he hurt. You gotta add something in. I had two neighbors murdered a year apart, shot in the head, walking their dog in Robbinsdale. And I've had two bankers I've called, one banker and one other fellow I called on the head of their daughters murdered, raped and murdered. And I go into thinking, what's the value of a community? I mean, you can put hard numbers to hard costs, but even in 2005, when I wrote the book, Invisible Children, the insurance costs of crime in the nation were between $1 and $1.6 trillion a year. See, all that stuff gets kind of pushed around. And again, if you were to really study where somebody that spent 40 years of their life in prison came from, and there's a lot of them, you know, I mean, we've got more people in prison than anybody else. And the things they've done are often very sad. You know, there's a lot of very terrible things that take place here that don't take place. I mean, our per capita crime rates and suicides and all that stuff, you know, it's off the map. And we also lead the world in sexually transmitted diseases and child mortality and other things that are just not good.
So why though? I mean, is it our culture? We no longer care about taking care of
there's been a shift that allows people to think badly of poor people. We've always been a nation driven by, and I'm an entrepreneur, you know, I used to own a junkyard. I love to work hard and do things, and I feel good about that. But I've never felt that I shouldn't take care of other people's children.
Well,
or
Jesus,
they didn't have a part in my
Jesus
life.
Says there's always going to be people that we have, the weaker people that we always have to take care of.
Yeah.
I, you know, wherever you stand religiously, that is something I think that holds true in every religion is, you know, that thought should be there. But because we have abandoned our weaker members of our society and just moved on, we're creating a mess that we eventually are going to need to deal with.
And it would be so much less expensive if we break the cycle early. Because when do the children lead a normal life? They have normal families. We're in a fourth, fifth, sixth generation of abused and neglected children, having the next generation of abused and neglected children. And they're no longer two, three, four kids per family. It's four, five, six kids per family.
And that's
and
why
it's a
that?
Very expensive family.
And why is that? Why is the abused, neglected children having more babies than the ones that aren't?
Well, there's a couple different ways of looking at it. And I'll give you the one.
Because that's
the heart.
A problem, that's... too. That means that the percentage of that is growing versus the percentage of people that are living normal, healthy lives.
Yeah, I think so. And have been for a long time. No, but especially abused girls. They want to have love in their life. And they're going to have a baby. They know a baby's going to give them love in their life. They may not have parenting skills. They may have a violent boyfriend, and they may have a drug habit, but they're going to have love in their life, and they're going to have a baby. And if child protection comes in and says you're not caring for that child well, or these things are happening, you know, it's a vicious cycle.
It's almost
and again,
like,
we know how to fix it. We just haven't put the resources into doing it.
So basically, they have a baby because they want love in their life, but they don't give them the care. They pretty much neglect them because they're into drugs and so forth. They don't.
Well,
know
they'll be parented care. Just like they were parented.
Okay.
Parenting skills do not come from the stork.
So they get their babies taken away, and they want that love again. So they just have another baby. I mean, is that?
Yeah. That's part of it. It's not wholesale, but as a practical matter, human nature is human nature. And to think you can just lay down a dictum and change things, you really can't. And I can't even be mad at some of the, really, you know, I've seen terrible things. I had a 7-year-old prostituted.
Oh, jeez.
Talk about that. And I can't even, you know, their parents were as twisted, you know, I mean, had the same terrible problems. And they can't be different without our help.
Well, so what is the solution? What are the solutions? I know that you say that they know what the solutions are, but they won't put the money behind it. So
yeah,
what are they?
It's really pretty straightforward. Who you elect as a legislature is everything. It is. I mean, in Europe, when they need to increase a tax to get more daycare centers, they go out and buy a couple hundred copies of the New York Times and show them to people. The tax passes. They do not want to look like us. You read about our crime stats and prisons and unsafe streets. Here, they couldn't get money. The $5 million, the Minneapolis 35W bridge was at the bottom 3% of all the bridges in the neighborhood, in the nation. And they couldn't get $5 million to fix the damn thing before it fell on everybody and killed them. Because the anti-tax people got on TV and raised hell. And that's really what's gone on here. Legislators simply don't know. And actually, it's become a real conundrum because service providers end up giving their end of the story. You know, when they are even in the task force here right now, and I applaud everybody involved and doing their best, but that's not how it's going to work. The data's not there. The transparency's not there. And nobody really does know how to measure this stuff. Actually, you know,
well, wouldn't you say that?
Don't,
I mean, we pay a heck of a lot in taxes. It's also a priority of what we decide is important.
You know, I'm gonna give you a couple examples of where we're really wasting money. Now, people think that we spend a lot of money on education, and they're right. We spend two or three times what the rest of the industrialized world does. But there's a real simple reason for that, and our results are terrible. Their results are terrible.
Well, same with healthcare. We pay twice as much as the next most expensive nation, which is France, and they have a better
That's right.
Yeah. So
but with education, here's the deal. These kids are not ready for school. Traumatized children don't play well with others. They don't learn well. We've got millions and millions of them, and they're causing great disruption in our school system. And so I don't care how much you spend without handling child protection issues, traumatized children, and not giving Prozac to 2-year-olds. Does that make sense to you?
Well, it does. I think we have some serious issues. I'm laughing because it's just so profound. I think our culture has changed too. I think we used to care more about children, and I think we've lost our compassion to a certain degree. And
it's actually a combination of that. And you're right. I mean, there's just so much other trouble and lack of resources and stuff like that. I do remember being a child and early on with TV, watching old people eating dog food out of cans and living under bridges. And then Social Security became a much more important thing. And I thought when we started Kids at Risk Action, the nonprofit, that would wake people up and it'd be like Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, which was very successful at getting drunken drivers off the street in its day. But no, this is too complex an issue. People can't get their brain around it.
Well, you know, I was watching a 60 Minutes episode just recently, and I was watching about the legislature. It's an excellent report they did. And they were talking about how the congressmen and women have to spend about 30 hours a week just on their phone trying to solicit funds.
Yeah.
So now that's 75% of a normal work week. You have to spend working for the party as a telemarketer. So how could they possibly have the time to get into these issues and understand them?
Yeah, that's where we are.
That is so ridiculous. That made me angry because it's such a waste, a precious waste of their time. They need to be spending 100% of their time, which 100% of their time isn't enough time. 100% of their time looking at the issues and figuring out and trying to figure out what's best for our country. And now they're spending, 75% of their time being a telemarketer trying to solicit funds. I don't know how you solve any problems when that's what we have going on.
Well, the worst part about it for kids is they don't vote. They don't have any voice.
Yeah, they're our weakest part of society.
Raise them any votes, and they certainly can't get any media exposure unless there's the occasional Brandon Stahl who... People don't report on it. It's an ugly topic. They don't like to talk about it. That's the other half of the problem. It's uncomfortable.
So basically, the problems with jails, schools, our communities, not having enough resources for our businesses, not having enough highly trained people, not having the work ethic that we need in our, in our workers, this, almost all of it can go back to this issue.
I believe that. It's a core issue. If we had smarter kids, better kids, less trouble, the healthcare thing, I don't know if you got a chance, but the ACES Project has a 3-minute video. It's on our website, and it explains 35 years of research by the medical industry on trauma, the impact of trauma. And once that's fixed, everybody gets well and leads normal lives.
Well, I think I'm going to, I'll put that on the radio page so people can see that video if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
And I think this is really interesting because it's a core issue of why things aren't working well. The money that we spend on our school systems are incredible. They're per student. I know in the state of Minnesota where I went to school and grew up, they spent more per public school student than the top private school students.
Yeah.
And that's coming, and that's happening all over the country. That's coming from the problems that you're talking about.
And think about what it's like to be a service provider. There's so many perspectives here on how you frame this, but I know a lot of teachers. I know a lot of social workers. I grew up with the police guys in my neighborhood. And nobody knows. No, they all got a little different piece of the elephant. They all think they know, but they don't know. You can't fix a 2-year-old that's been on Prozac unless there's been some professional help.
But is it because we're putting everybody through a McDonald's drive-through type system? And we're just not getting to the core of the issue. We're not trying to solve it. We're just setting up a bunch of processes and putting people through this drive-through. And we're throwing money at it, and we're just thinking and then ignoring it. And we're not getting to the core of the problem. It's amazing. In Europe, I think you made a really good correlation about after World War II, the trauma that everybody went through, and they realized the most important thing in your country are your families, because that will ultimately affect education, the quality of workers you have, everything.
Yeah.
And we just abandon that for some reason. And maybe our wealth, our I don't know, the illusion that we're doing great and we don't need to deal with others.
We're freedom-loving people driven by money. I mean, that's kind of the core of the American way, and I accept that, but to a point, we've carried it beyond that.
We have to take another short station break. We'll be back in a moment.
Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light, from author and healer Francine Vale, is available now. Through Francine's life story, we learn how imperative it is to love one another. Once this simple truth is learned, peace on earth will prevail. Song of the Heart is a life lived and a story told for this purpose. To learn more about Francine and her amazing gifts, or to order your copy of the book today, visit angelsandlightbeings.com.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Shine On Radio, Find Your Shine with Kelly, is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
If you are one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Welcome back to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and we're having a discussion with Mike Tikkanen about childhood abuse and trauma and the significant financial costs that has on our communities and our businesses, and not just financial costs, obviously, but it ends up translating into that and many other costs to our society. But let's rejoin that conversation now.
I mean, like I said, when I was a boy and I watched the old people eating dog food out of cans and living under bridges, then it was just natural that the legislators got a hold of that and they drove Social Security to the point where my old uncle, who died at 92, lived a pretty good life on Social Security and a tiny pension from his 25-cent-an-hour job. You know,
you don't need a lot just to be able to survive. But we used to have community organizations that took care of people more. We do still.
It's just the numbers are so great. There's just no way. And people argue that all the time. And you can't. There's churches that I've been in where the smell of poop during the summer is just too great because there's 170 kids in a building that's meant for 30. You know, and people are trying not to abandon their neighbors or children. And they can't. There's not enough manpower.
We have more problems than we used to.
Well, it's horrendous. And then we give social workers, you know, 24 families to take care of or something like that. You can't do that.
They're getting burnt out, right? I mean, I don't even know how you could do that.
Well, actually, the turnover rate in most of these industries, including education, you know, is just outrageous compared to the rest of the world.
Really, what is our turnover rate compared to, I don't know if you have
Well, I'll tell you, when I spoke at
head.
The women prison wardens, this is the worst I've ever seen. The women had a conference in Bloomington 8 years ago, and it was 9 months. A woman prison warden lasted about 9 months. Because in a men's prison, men are used to, you know, it's a toughness thing. I don't know, yeah. They get used to getting beat up in and out of prison, and recidivism at 60, 70, 80%. But women went to prison under the kingpin laws. They didn't do anything wrong. They were in love with the wrong guy, and they got dumped on because that's how that works. You know, if you give up somebody, you get 3 years off your sentence, and they couldn't afford a lawyer. And so those women lost their children. A lot of them were decent people. They just loved the wrong guy or were afraid of him. So women prison wardens know that they're enforcing awful laws. And even Shakopee Valley, I look at people that don't get to see their kids. We build these federal prisons far enough away so that, life is just miserable for the children and for everybody.
Well,
we become a heartless people. It's hard to work in that atmosphere. I really do respect social workers and teachers and police and people that are trying to do the fabric of the community type work, because it's not easy. You get spit on and you're dealing with people with really severe mental health issues. I mean, and that number is big. And after a while you get worn down.
Well, it sounds like it's a cultural issue that we just need to regain our compassion and rethink about the people that are weaker than us and realize that that's important for everyone.
Well, I'd like to really lean on the fact that the legislators have got to understand this stuff.
Well, I don't know how they can when they're spending.
As long as that's not true, nothing's going to change.
Well, but how do you blame them when they're spending 75% of their time being telemarketers?
Well, I don't know. Again,
you know what I mean? When I saw that made me really angry. I don't know how you can blame anyone
if that
system is set up like that.
If you go meet your state legislator, and we're talking at a state level now, and I talked to mine, I went and sat in on the commission hearings. There's 3, 4, 5 different ways of getting involved in this. As a practical matter, state legislators will tell you they don't know, they don't understand, and you have to be in their office.
So
you
you're
have
saying
to go
at the
and you
state
have to
level.
Talk to them.
At the state level, it's probably different. I'm talking at the national level. And so
we
have to solve this at the state
and
level.
And state funding, and this state's a very good example of something that just happened in the last couple years, where the governor got involved and said some very tough things and informed the task force, and people went to work on it, and change is coming. And it's because people got involved, and believe me, there's hundreds of people that go down to the thing and
same
passage for children.
It's the leaders in our country need to get involved in on these serious issues in every state and say, this is something that's important to us, and we are going to get involved. Because I can only say so much that I need quality workers, and our education system needs to be better, and all these other things. You can only complain so much or do what you can there.
Yeah.
You got
yeah.
to get to the core of the issue, which
right.
is, because I know there's a big difference. I send my kids to private school. I have to admit that. And I know that there's a big difference in some of the issues that the public school and the private school has to deal with. The private school doesn't have to deal with these level of issues.
Right.
And it's not really fair to the children, because and I remember being in the advanced classes when I was younger and then having to take a study hall with the average, you know, the students that were from the general population. And there was a huge, I went to a public school. There was a huge difference between my classes in advanced math and my classes in just my general, study hall. I mean, it was huge. I mean, I felt like I was going into a party room versus a more serious situation, you know, and I think that is expanded across the whole school. I mean, so you got really smart kids, and what the public schools are doing is creating honor classes and all these other things. And so they're kind of separated, but you got the majority of the population are really struggling just to be able to get educated.
It's so true. And again, it's back to recognizing that it economically makes perfect sense to have early childhood programs so that kids are ready for school. Because if they're not ready for school, it's going to cost an arm and a leg to just get them through school, and then you're still going to have to denigrate your qualitative metrics just to get them to pass. I mean, the number of GED kids that can't find the Pacific Ocean on a map. There was one third, at the last one I read, one third of them couldn't find Florida on a map, couldn't find the Pacific Ocean on a map.
Well, so now you have a website that's there to educate people, and it's called, well, you wrote the book Invisible Children, but you also have the ACEs group. Right?
Yeah, the ACEs I use, I recommend others too. InvisibleChildren.org is our website. If you go to .com, that's the Kenya people. Kony 2012 in Africa, but InvisibleChildren.org is us. Safe Passages MN is the Safe Passages to work on the legislative part of it. And the ACEs is actually AVAHealth.org, I believe. And they'll all be on our website. They're all important. There's a lot of motion taking place now, and it can either take 5 or 50 years, depending on how people react.
Well, and you have, I did watch that video where it showed the 35 years of research showing how trauma affects all the fundamental issues in society and, you know, how it affects them when they're older. Almost all the diseases and everything can correlate back to what happened in childhood. And it's a really interesting education there. I really encourage leaders in our country. I mean, it's the leadership that, you know, and it's not just Congress. I think it's leaders in business and leaders in general and leaders in society that need to go, hey, this is serious. Because once the leaders take interest in it, then the things follow into place.
I'd really like to make a pitch for my public speaking because I bring with me all of the other assets of ACEs and of Safe Passages, and I bring answers to questions that are very complicated on the surface, for sure. But once we start listening to the different perspectives, I know that 10 years ago, Art Rolnick did a big study on early childhood programs. He was a Federal Reserve Bank director, you know, showing the terrific $17 return on every dollar invested in early childhood programs. Things like that, so that people can get their brain around the economics of the thing and not just the ethical aspects, which some people don't really react to.
Well, when I hear early childhood education, you know, as a business, hardcore business person, before I had kids, before I started really diving into some of these, understanding these issues, I got to be honest. I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. You know, I mean, honestly, because I didn't understand any of these issues. And what you're saying, and I see that early childhood education is important, but what does it do as far as helping with the trauma stuff? You know, helping is how do we get that to, you know, because, you know, being in the family when you're 2, 3, 4 years old, sometimes it's not bad to just play and be with a good nurturing environment and so forth, but it's getting to the core of the trauma issue, how does early education help with that?
Okay, there's 2 or 3 different, very distinct answers. The first one I'm going to give you is the most awful, I guess, and that's when envision a young mother, whether it's working, and her boyfriend or drunk uncle, drug problem, is put in charge of the child when she's working because she can't afford daycare. Institutional daycare in this state now is $14,000 a year.
It's very expensive.
And then you might get something else at half that price, but that you, really, when you get into daycare and how it's run and all that, you know, people just don't do it. They get their drunk uncle or their boyfriend. And the abuse of children in those circumstances is almost like homelessness, kids. I mean, it's just awful. So early childhood programs put the child in a normal circumstance for 8 hours a day. And you wouldn't believe, most people would not believe, the difference it makes in a child's life. That child at 5, 6, and 7 can parent the parent. And that's not always, but that's just an example. Now, the other part of it is children that don't have that are still going to be put into kindergarten. They're still going to be put into first grade. And these are children now with trauma that they wouldn't have if they'd been in daycare. Am I making sense to you? Early childhood programs?
Those early childhood programs keep the trauma from it stops the cycle early?
Yes, it can. And the point I really want to stress is that there's an awful lot of poor mothers, and it's generally the mother, that's got a job trying to support that family. She lives in a fourplex, and then the boyfriend or other, and I will say, you know, ne'er-do-well person, is going to sit and watch that child. And if you read my writing, and I do write about this, and it kills me to say it, A great deal of child death in this country comes from a man that couldn't stand a crying child. There's a lot of sex abuse, and I don't know about your radio show, but I mean, I've seen half the kids I worked with were sexually abused. Out of 50 kids, about 25 of them. And one was as young as 2. Several were 4. I had a 7-year-old girl that had been prostituted for 2 years. And you talk about trauma.
How do you not get mad and just want to beat the crap out of some guy that prostitutes a 7 or mom or whoever did it? Prostitutes a 7-year-old. I would have a hard time not.
That's its own subject, and we take another radio show to get into it.
I might not be able to. I might be in jail myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, being honest, I would. That would make me so angry.
Yeah, no, it's awful. But you asked about early childhood, and think about it. The longer you can get a child, more time a child can spend in normal circumstances with normal children, with adults that care for them and feed them and treat them like little human beings. And then that's a less time for trauma uncle, trauma boyfriend, trauma sadness, drugs, alcohol. Again, mom probably didn't have a lot of parenting skills. I don't know. You know, that's usually the case because it's generational.
Do moms want to get parenting skills, or do you think they are just, they're a lost cause? Because most moms love their children.
Yeah. It's a tough call. The truth, I think, is that young mothers can be brought along and they can reach a certain stage. They in general, I have found that they, you know, it's worth doing. It's just worth doing. You got to try. And some can never go home. When they get into child protection, it's too late. But I don't know. I don't want to sound like I have all the answers. I just will say that it's worth doing. Economically, it's worth doing. Ethically, it's worth doing. And certainly to the business community that wants to have a workforce that, you know, that wants to get up in the morning and come to your place at work and not steal from you and stuff like that, you know. And people are proud of their work. Work is a very important part of life.
Well, it sounds like, you know, for every child that we remove out of that situation and make their life more normal, we potentially can save not only is it ethical, but we can potentially save millions of dollars. I mean, per child, we could save hundreds of thousands. Like that one boy that you said you guys calculated the $3 million. So it's a very costly thing to our society, let alone the breadth of problems. Anytime there's dysfunction, it's like going into a business and you have a dysfunctional organization because you have the dysfunction going on, and you clear out the dysfunction, and the performance level that you have in that organization by just getting rid of the dysfunction is amazing. I mean, it's a night and day, like turning a switch on and off. And if we have this all over our country, I mean, you're always going to have poor. You're always going to have the issues, right? But when we have it out of control, I mean, it's pretty obvious. And I've talked to a lot of professional people that say, yeah, there's a really, you just walk down the street, you can see the difference now. And I know a lot of it has to do with our economy and so forth. Now, how much is it getting worse because of our economy and the stress that's putting on the parents that don't have money?
It's a sadness to me that when we ran into recession, some of the first things to be cut were those child protection things. And even today, when they added an extra 100 social workers, when the governor came out and said, you add 100 social workers, no more kids dying after being, that was an ugly state of affairs. But did they give any more money to the Guardian Litem program? That, you know, there's tens of thousands of us that volunteer at the Guardian Litem program for CASA and then take these cases on and try and help these kids. And you can only last so long, so the turnover is pretty high in that field. But no money came to that. There's 100 kids that don't have guardians in Hennepin County alone now. And so as good as things are coming out of this recession, it's really not very good at all. I don't want to sound cynical, but I mean the hole is so deep and people are so clueless. And I'm sorry to be hard, but
cluelessness is a disease that we have in lots of industries.
When we talk about money, think about it. I mean, whether it's $1 trillion or $1.4 trillion a year that we spend on war and military, and nobody argues about that. We just do that.
Yeah, I have some issues with
yeah, I do too, but I just want part of the money to go to kids.
How much we spend in some areas of society without even questioning it. And then, I would like to see it, there be cultural shifts so that there's a cultural change so that, I just think that we used to spend, the society used to be together making a difference in kids' lives. And I just think we're all so busy. It's a different world right now.
Well, there is so much sadness that it's hard to know where to concentrate. I've got a lot of friends that do dog rescue, and bless their souls. But what we have here that's destroying the nation is children that are really being left in the river and pulled out too late, too much Prozac, not enough mental health services. And it just bodes poorly for the future.
Well, what can people do to learn more about this? You have your websites, which I'll have links on there. So education is a big first step, is educate yourself on what the issues are. And then what can people realistically do to make a difference?
Okay, I give four different levels of participation. The first one is to learn about it. So I have a Stand Up for Children button on ours. Every Friday you'll get a little email update from us on our website if you sign up on Stand for Children. And secondly, any time you call your state legislator and say, I really am pro-child. I want you to vote for children's issues. And that's important. If you want to go a step further, then join Safe Passage Minnesota, and that's on our website too.
Now, does this belong in other states as well?
Yes, it does. It's national.
Okay.
It's not in every state, but it's national. And the concept is that once a year they'll call you and they'll tell you to meet them at the state house. And you will sit in your legislator's office and they will know that you're serious. And it does work. And third, of course, you could become a guardian ad litem, a CASA guardian ad litem.
And now that's national too?
Yeah, that's national too.
Okay. And you can send me those websites and I'll put that on the on our webpage. Yeah. Well, you know what? I really appreciate you joining us today. I think this is a really important issue, and it's, I have a lot of uplifting shows, but it's hard to stay. You got to talk about the dark issues too. If you want to, you got to face reality, right? You got to face the music.
Yeah. It's the only way it's going to change.
Yeah, you do. So, okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And I really hope you have a great rest of the day and week.
Thank you, my friend. Anytime.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Unfortunately, we do not have enough time to play the whole interview. So if you want to hear the rest of it, you can hear it on any podcast player that I have I'm on over 100 different digital networks. So you should be able to find it somewhere. But go to my website. You can find it there for sure at sarahwestall.com. But you'll also be able to donate there, purchase the CD, the beautiful music by Katrina Sama. 100% of this goes to an Invisible Children's organization to help children in need and to try to deal with this really awful problem. And if you want Mike to speak to your organization, he is available to talk to organizations and educate your communities on this problem. You can find more information on his website at invisiblechildren.org. Or you can get his email as well on my website at sarahwestall.com and get his contact information. For now, I hope everyone has a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Business Game Changers with host Sarah Westall. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, as Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Pacific time and learn more about Sarah at sarahwestall.com today.